Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We are four lines from the top. We're in the words Mipsach Haluka, that we're discussing that a woman is allowed to open her robe on Shabbos. And Gemara says Pshita, it's pasur, she's allowed to tie the robe rather. It's pasur that she's allowed to tie the knot at the opening of her robe. Why should you have any havamina that is going to be usher? The knot is made to be untied daily, so it's pasur that it should be mutter. So the Gemara says, Lotzricha, no, really do not mention this, to Islay Tre Dashi. Because this robe has two openings, meaning it has two straps, and since it has two straps that you tie together, so therefore I would have had a hava minimadusima. I would have thought the following: I would have thought the chadu minayo batule mevatel, that the woman will leave one of the straps tied permanently, and therefore you would have a ketcher shakayama, which should be usher. Therefore, Kamash on the Mishnah is telling you that it's going to be mutter. Why? Because apparently we're not concerned with the fact that she might leave it there for a long time, because she apparently takes it off daily, so therefore it's made to be tied like untied daily. Therefore, we're not assuming that she would in fact make this mistake. So therefore, we're going to make it. Okay. The Gemara continues, v'chutei sevacha, the strings of her hat, also to mutter to be tied. The Gemara says, pshita, that's also obvious that you're allowed to tie these type of knots again, because Rashi points out that you untie them every single day, so it's not permanent whatsoever, it should be totally mutter. So the Gemara says, l'tzricha, no, we need to mention the Mishnah, because the Rav Chalei, we're talking about a hat which is loose, apparently, on her hair. Rashi points out that she tied it loose enough that she could slip it off without, and leave the knot there. Now to say him again, I would have thought that Mishla Shalfala, the woman will slip the hat off of her head without first untying it, because she'll leave it on, and then it's going to be considered a permanent knot. And there, Kamashman de Isha Chasal Sar, the Chiddush is there, over there, the Mishnah is telling you the woman is careful with regards to her hair. Mishra Shariyala, she's going to untie it, because if she doesn't, Rashi points out, when she removes the hat in that way, maybe she'll pull out some of her hairs, which obviously women are very careful with. You don't want to mess with her hair. Then she'll never do that in that situation, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Again, this is noting the point with the tie, that if you leave your tie on Shabbos and you leave it there for a long period of time, then it leads to major issues of potentially being ketcher shakayama. Then ever undoing it on Shabbos would be a problem. Meaning theoretically it wouldn't be a problem if you always leave it like that forever, but then if you ever wanted to undo that tie on Shabbos, it would be highly problematic. But now the Mishnah continues, Irtsuas Mina Vesandal, the straps of a shoe or a sandal. The Gemara is going to quote three dinim that are all problematic. Itmar, we learn in a Braisa, Hiti Ritsuas Mina Vesandal Chayav. So now we have one who says that if you untie the straps of a shoe or a sandal on Shabbos, you're going to be chayav chatas. It's an iser deraisa. V'tani idach. We have another braisa that tells you patra v'lasser, that it's only midrabban, it's going to be asr in this case. V'tani idach. We have a third braisa that tells you mutter lecharchila, that it's totally mutter. So now we have kasha minal minal, kasha sandal sandal. We have three different braisas, and they all seem to be problematic. The dinim of shoes don't line up, and the dinim of sandals also don't line up. The Gemara now says, "Min ala min alo kasha." When the Braisa is talking about shoes or not, there's no stira. There's not a contradiction. Why? Because hay de knei chayav chatas. When is what circumstance going to be chayav chatas? Bide ush kafe, that we're talking about a case of the knots of shoemakers. And what is that? Rashi says that when it comes to making a shoe, the shoemaker apparently. I don't have a picture so much in this case. I don't have a picture. I saw pictures of the later one. We'll see the sandals. But the shoemaker inserting the straps into a hole in the shoe, and he ties the knot and makes a kesher shokayama. So this is made as a permanent knot. Therefore, someone who unties that, again, kosher and matzer always together. So whenever you're going to be chayav as kosher for tying that knot, untying that same knot will be chayav midaraisa as well. So therefore, you're going to be chayav achatus. However, so patr val asr, what case is the derabanan? Is the case of bidderabanan. I'm referring to the knots of the Rabbanan. What is that? That apparently Rashi points out when the Rabbanan used to put on their shoes, they wouldn't strap them so tightly because they can able to take them on and off whenever they want them. And so upshot that why would they do that? Because they're learning all day. So it's a tircha for them to have to tie their shoelaces and deal with all that. So therefore they're very careful with leaving them loose. And so then why isn't it always, so meaning if they're only going to leave them on this way, then they'll be the Kesher Shokayam, they're going to leave them this tie forever. So Rashi points out, no, because apparently when it was dirty they needed to untie the knots in order to retie them tightly to prevent their shoes from getting slipping and getting stuck in the mud during the rainy season, so therefore it would in fact be undone sometimes, therefore it's only Aser Midirabbanan. saw an interesting said that Achrona pointed out. So that maybe this is a good teretz for why the Rabbanim. At the end of the day, there's a mitzvah we saw before. If you tie your shoes right, left, right, to do that. Yet many gedolim didn't have. They only have the slip-on shoes. And even Ariel, many gedolim and admorim, many big chachamim don't have shoes with laces. So he said, based on this Gemara, that's there. But apparently, the Rabbanim, when they're so machmir about their time, that even though there is an inyan to do put on the right shoe and tie the left shoe, I mean, then put on your left shoe and then tie the left shoe and put on the right shoe, it's a tircha that apparently for Bittul Torah we would be makel over here because the Rabbanan also left their shoes like that and didn't tie them every single time. Okay, interesting shot. The Gemara continues, Bittul Lechadchila. What case is going to be Mutter Lechadchila? Bibnei Mechoza. There's steps or not that those who lived in Mechoza would. Rashi points out that these are very fancy people. They're very careful about their clothing. It has to be on perfectly. So therefore, they would constantly be putting on their shoes and taking them off every day. So therefore, they would take off their shoes every day, and therefore, it would not be a problem whatsoever. L'chora, why don't that apply to us? It's all shaila, okay? It really does if you're only doing a single knot, a double knot, and Rishi Ruah is choshesh for the fact that that already is considered a ma'isa uman potentially, so therefore, or in fact that it can't be taken off with one hand, okay? L'ma'isa, that's a chumra, but at the end of the day, we really be taking off every day. There's reason there would be maker, then potentially room to make it. Either way, the Gemara continues now. Okay, sandal akasha. What about a sandal? Why is there no contradiction with that? Because the Gemara says, "Hada ketanei chayav chatos." Which circumstances is it deraisa? But to tie it to kitrei ushkafe. Here we're talking about the sandal ashes of the Ishmaelim of the Arabs. Apparently, that they would make their sandals in a way that they would fasten them extremely tightly, and therefore these knots would be a kesher shakayama. They'd be permanent, and they'd be chayav on Shabbos. So then, what's the case of Pato? Also, where is the sandal going to be in Isidra Banan? Bidichomrat adiktrei inu. Referring to the knots that are tied by people who are not the experts over there, because these knots, Rashi points out, they're made to be tied and untied. And Rashi points out also they lasted a week or a month. And that's just similar to what we mentioned last time at the Diyuk of the Beis Yosef, that if it lasts more than a month, that's only the Isidra Raisa. However, the Taz disagrees. Maybe even more than 24 hours is going to be the Isidra Raisa. Okay, we're going to be Maestro Choshesh for this Taz. However, they're going to say that we're going to make the gzera. Now, mutter lechachila, which case is going to be mutter even okay lechachila? You don't even have to worry about it. That would be the case of sandal b'sandal de nafke be trey. That's talking about a sandal which two people go out with, which is apparently worn on different days by two different people with different. So since the knot had to be constantly adjusted every single day, that would be mutter, and apparently we're not choshesh that they would leave it because its nature is tate every day. Rosh Hashanah points this out, that that's the chor of the gedder. If there's something that you can make a kesher shakayama, but you don't intend to do that, that's still going to be asur derabanan. However, if it's something that in nature is meant to be taken off every single day, so he thought that based on this, that would be the gedder of something that is going to be mutter if you don't plan. You need two conditions. Obviously, you don't need to plan. You plan on not taking it off every day, and it's something in nature which is taken off every day. Now the Gemara continues that the kederav Yehuda, this last case with the sandals, like Rav Yehuda, what happened to Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda, achua de Rav Salah Chasida Avilei, hahu zuga de Sanlei. So he was the brother of Asalach Chasida, the holy one, the tzaddik, and he had a pair of sandals. Zimna nafik by iu. Sometimes he went out with it. Zimna nafik by bnei yoke. Sometimes his son went out with it. Also the kamar d'abayis. Again, d'abay amar lei ki aygav nemai. What's the rule? Am I allowed to untie these knots on Shabbos? He asked d'abay the shadow that is untie them on Shabbos. He says amar lei. So d'abay responded chayav chatas. You're going to be chayav chatas if you undo the knot on Shabbos. He says amar lei hashta patra v'lasser kashli. I was wondering bechlal. I wasn't even sure, but I didn't think it was going to even an iser derabanan. And now you're telling. You're telling me it's an Isser de Raisa. You're going to be Chayav Achatas. My Tama, what could possibly be the reasoning? Why are you... Abaya responded, My Tama. Abaya says, no, why is it bothering him? So Rabbi Huda responded, Amar Lei, Meshum de V'chol Nami, Zimna Nafki Be'yana, Zimna de Nafki Yonoke. So he says, what do you mean? Even during the weekdays, I sometimes will take it off and I take it off and give it to my son. And he goes out with them. So clearly, it's meant to be temporary. So I thought it's going to be maybe even Mutter de Chalchila, but for sure, at worst, an Isser de Rabbanim, because it's not. It's supposed to be kayama. It's not permanent. So what a buyer responded to say, Amar lei, oh, I didn't realize that. So if that's the case in a chanami, you're right. It should be mutter lechalchila. Apparently, a buyer was unaware that he was untying them every single day because obviously, once he heard this, he changed his mind. So now the Gemara goes back and says, Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'kaza basha derbi abba karas. It says the story. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was walking by Rabbi Yirmiyahu. And a Carmelist, we know Carmelist is usher to carry midrabanan. Ifsik ritsua disanle. So a strap broke off of his sandal, and therefore the sandal fell off his foot. And so the shaila over here was going to be, what can he do with this? So he says, Amar Leir, Rabbi Yirmiyahu responded, told Rabbi Bo, my Navidlai, what could I do with my shoe? So I can't be worn on the foot, or I can't be carried either. So what am I supposed to do? Amar Leir, so he said to him, Shakel Gemi Lach, the Chazil Maichal Behema, take a reed that was wet, and it's good, therefore going to be fit for animal food, because if it's dry, Rashi points out it would be a problem of mukta, something that's not prepared before Shabbos, something that's not prepared before Shabbos, is usher to move on Shabbos, you won't be allowed to bring a reed. However, if you take a dry one, then krochaleh, and you can tie it around the sandal in a way that's obviously not permanent, you wind it around, you wrap it around the sandal, that is going to be mutter, you can walk with it until you get to the Rishus Hayach, into their private domain. So now the Gemara continues, says, Abayavik, have a kai come into Rav Yosef. Abaya wants to walk with his Rebbe Rav Yosef. Yosef later tzua, and Abaya's a strap of Abaya's sandals broke off. So Amar Lei, so he said to Rav Yosef, Maya Avid Lei, what should I do with this strap? Amar Lei, Shavke, you should leave it there. It's muksin, you're not allowed to move it because this would. Rav Yosef held it at Tumukta because it's no longer a kli, it's no longer a shoe, and since it's no longer a shoe, it's not considered something that has a purpose on Shabbos, and therefore you're not allowed to move it. Gemara says, Ma'ishnam and Rabbi, why would Rabbi allow you to move it, to Rabbi Abaya to move it, and not Abaya? What was the difference between the two cases? So Gemara says, Hasam lo minta. When it came to the case of Yirmiyah, that wasn't a carmelis, and so that was not a place where it was properly guarded, and he was afraid he was going to lose it. So therefore, Rabbi Abaya allowed Rabbi Yirmiyah to take it and move it with the use the reed that was wet in order to walk to Rosh Hashanah, that was a safe place, and put it over there. However, Hachaminta, here this case of Abaya happened in Rosh Hashanah, and since it was in a safe place, Rav Yosef didn't permit Abaya to move it, as he understood that it was mukta. So since it's mukta, you're not allowed to move it. However, some Rishonim are bothered by that. Where in the world do we see a heter not to move something because of the fact that you're afraid it's going to get lost? Mitan mukta, with the chora mitam latzel as a din, moving something from mukta, the chora does not, the fact of financial loss doesn't necessarily affect the din of mukta to allow you to move it. So therefore, the Ravid, therefore says the Gemara was talking about something else. Now, in a carmelis, the owner of the broken sandal, he is aware of the possibility that the sandal is going to be abandoned and it might be taken away. Therefore, when he intends to wear it, he is going to wear it in that normal way. Therefore, it's going to be never going to lose its status as a usable shoe because he would never want. He knows that if that would happen, he would wear it in that way in order not to lose it. However, in the chatzer, since it's safe, he's not going to see any reason to wear it. So therefore, he never had in his mind that he could possibly wear it on Shabbos. Therefore, it's going to be muksa for a different reason, not because of the reasoning of that we just stam allow muksa. So that was a very interesting shot from the rabbi. Where it says now at the end of the day, the hamanahu, the sandal is still considered a kli di ibaina afichale miyam in the small. Then it's going to be mutter. So meaning Abaya has the kasha, though he says that at the end of the day, if a person wanted to change it from the right to left foot, at the end of the day you would wear it like that. Meaning, now it's important to note what type of sandals they used to have. Here a picture of it would very much be helpful. They used to have sandals, not like similar to what the Israeli sandals that people wear, but they would have straps and only two straps really, be'ikaron, on the straps. So then, and also it wasn't necessarily, didn't have a, like we have, didn't have like the toe breaks that you have that, right? The way that's a right and left foot very known is more like a square shape. So therefore, it was able to be interchanged between the different feet. So here, when it comes to the with two lever hold, the strap holders over here in this case, so one, you have one on the outside and one on the inside that used to cover again. So imagine the top of our shoes, instead of having the top what we have, they would have straps. So in this circumstance, when one of these straps or one of these are going to break off, so the shaila is, what is going to happen in that case? So Abaya assumed that that by changing the sandal to the other foot, then you could then make the outer strap part of the inside, and since you're going to keep then it would still be a kli and it would still be function on Shabbos and shouldn't be mukta. So Rav Yosef responded, Amar Lei mid kamitar to Yochanan aliba der Rabbi Yehuda shma mina halacha k'Rav Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Yosef responded, since Rav Yochanan clarified the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sandal that on the outer strap of the sandal is going to be mukta, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and then this would also answer your question about it. So Gemara says, Mayhi, what in the world are we talking about? What case of Rabbi Yehuda did Rabbi Yochanan paskin like? The Gemara says over here, "Desanu we learn in a brayso sandal shem nisaku shtei oznav," that it literally of both ears, meaning both straps of the sandal. Again, we're talking about the top of the sandal that used to be. Again, they didn't have the tops like we have; they had only straps. So if both of them broke off, oshtei tar yosef, or both of its strap holders, then oshin da kol akashla, or a sandal that the entire bottom was removed. tahor. It is going to be tar. If it had previously been tame, we know that a kli, once it's broken, loses its status as a tame kli, and therefore, in this circumstance, it's going to be tar, and it's not going to be problematic. Even if you then make it again, Rashi points out that even if you fix it, that is going to be panim chadash kabbalakan. It's going to be, we're going to see later, that lashon, it's going to be as if it's a new kli, and therefore, it's not going to be considered tame anymore, even mikana lahava. So now the Gemara said, the Mishnah, the Gemara continues, according to the Braisa, achas mazav, if only one of its straps will fall off. Or its strap holders will fall off. But not all the bottom was removed, the sole of the foot of the shoe. Tame, then it's going to remain tame because it's going to be a kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nifsek as Pnimas Tame. Rabbi Yehuda makes a chiluk that not stam, that you need both of them to fall off. However, it depends. Even if one of them fall off, if the inner strap broke off, then it's going to remain a kli. However, if the outer strap broke off, it is going to be tar. It loses its status because no one is going to wear it in that circumstance. Apparently, the fact that it could switch is not going to be enough to according to Rebuta. It's considered still a kli. It's not going to be a kli according to Rebuta. Gemara says, V'amar Ula v'itema Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan. Ula said in the name Rabbi Chanan. He said, "Machlokas la'inan tuma." Just as the machlokas regards to tuma, kach machlokas la'inan Shabbos. And that would be the same. That would be lacha Shabbos. Meaning, if you assume that the kli remains tame, so you're assuming that the kli is still a functional kli. It's still something that would be on Shabbos, still considered a kli, and therefore it would be a mutter to continue wearing it on Shabbos, no longer mukta. However, if you hold that it becomes tahor, which means it's lost its status as a kli, then on Shabbos it's going to be mukta because it no longer has a function halachically, and therefore since it doesn't have a function, it's going to be mukta on Shabbos, and it's not considered designated because you don't use it for any purpose. It's going to be mukta, and you're not allowed to handle it, not allowed to move it. However, Rabbi Yochanan continued about lo le'inin chalitza. This halacha is not going to apply to the chalitza. We know that it has to be a shoe for a chalitza, right? If a person, Rachman al-Tzal, got married to someone and they didn't have any children yet, and the husband dies, so then the wife has to marry that person's brother. So Reuven dies without any children, then she'll have to marry Shimon's brother, and that's called Yibum. If Shimon doesn't want to marry her for whatever reason, so then he'll have to do chalitza, and he has to spit in the shoe. So which shoe are we discussing, and what is the din of the shoe? That's, Gemara said that there's going to be a difference between the shoe, that this halacha would not apply to the halacha of chalitza, which Gemara is going to say, that's a very extreme. What are we talking about? Ravinimba. So we ask, what is the halacha that he talked about chalitza? Rabbi Yochanan Liba Deman. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan make the statement that chalitza is going to be different. Ilei Maliba Rabbanan. If you want to assume according to Rabbanan, right, that they held that Medilina and Tuma Manahu, they were assuming that with regards to the fact that if the strap holder broke off on the outside, it's still considered a kli for inan tuma, meaning it's still considered tame. And then in Shabbos, nami manu have, and then come out from there, according to Shabbos, it would still be considered a kli, it would still be considered a utensil, in which case it's not going to be mukta and mutter to move on Shabbos. Then avalola inan chalitza de la manahu, then it's going to assume for chalitza, it's not considered a kli. So he says, why, the Gemara says, why should that be? Vatznan, we learn in the Mishnah, chalitza shel small biyamin, chalitza kshira, that if she takes a left shoe and puts it on a right shoe, that's going to be halachically mutter. So clearly, if you're doing and switching the shoes halachically, that has validity with regards to the inyan of chalitza, then for sure, then why could Rabbi Yochanan say that lul in chalitza? Lul in chalitza should be the same din, it should be kasher for the chalitza. So the Gemara says, valid Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan said a statement with regards to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, midl inyan tuma lav manahu. Because when it comes to the inyan of tuma, it's not going to be considered a utensil. Inyan Shabbos nami lav manahu. That means that according to Shabbos, it's also not going to be considered it's not going to be considered a utensil, and therefore it's going to be mukta. So then, aval lo lechalitza, but however, that's not going to be regards to chalitza, to the manu, because chalitza, it is going to be considered a kli, and then it's going to be mutter to use it. It's been mutter to use it for chalitza, and therefore, if you did it, if a person can take the left sandal and put it on the right, and it'd be yote the chalitza. The Gemara says, but according to this, when do we assume that a woman who takes her left shoe and uses it as a right shoe, that it's going to be valid? That's only when the sandal is still considered a kli, that it's meant to be used right now, even though it's meant to be used the left shoe. If she decides to use the right shoe, it's still considered a fully functional kli, then it's going to be considered it's going to work for the chalitza. However, with regards to the sandal that the strap snapped off on the outside, here it's not not considered a kli, even for the fact that it's considered, even for its own function. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's no longer a kli, it's no longer considered a halachically a shoe, because it's tar. We know that if it's still a halachically a shoe, it would not be tar anymore. Al-Malamanahu, even for the purpose of Tumah V'tar, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not a kli, it's not a utensil, so in Kol Shekin, it's not going to be considered a halachic shoe. Then for chalitza, how could you tie that? It's going to be a halachic shoe, for sure. It should not be a halachic shoe with regards to chalitza. So the Gemara wants to answer, La'ola Maliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Really, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ima v'chein lechalitza, and therefore you have to assume that he meant, no, not lola in chalitza, rather, the same halacha should apply lechalitza. Therefore he's talking about that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't consider a sandal that the outer strap is broke off, a kli, in to our Shabbos, so too he's not going to regard it as a chalitza, and a chalitza would be pasav. Ha'kamash malan, and that's when Rabbi Yochanan's coming to teach you, t'chiyamrin on chalitza shel smobr, so yamin chalitza k'shera. When do we assume that if a woman is using the left sandal, using it as on her right shoe, on her right foot, it would be work as her right sandal would work and be halakhically valid. Hecha, where Dilamil say manehu, only where the sandal is actually a kli on its own, meaning it's still tame and it's still considered a kli. However, if halacha with regards to you, the left sandal you're using, where even the mil say manehu, it's not tame, then culture gain, it's not going to be valid for the chalitza either. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that it's not going to be valid for the chalitza as well. Rashi just points out that we just switched. We just amended Rabbi Yochanan's statement to say v'cheila inin chalitza as opposed to lola inin chalitza to work with Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we assumed that Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi just says, why don't you just say v'chein l'rabbanan? That the Rabbanan also, it's going to be v'chein l'chalitza, and then it also worked l'rabbanan, and then he'd be aliba d'rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan would be passing like Rabbanan and not Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't you just assume like that? So Rashi said, because we wouldn't need Rabbi Yochanan to say like that. That when it comes to, it's obvious that a sandal is considered a lachic sandal with regards to chalitza when it comes to something that's valid and it is tame also. So then there's no need for Rabbi Yochanan to say that. It's obvious that Rabbi Yochanan would never come to say you something that's obvious, so therefore it has to be that Rabbi Yochanan was telling you the chiddush within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rashi just points out. Okay, now the Gemara asks the Bustam, Miyam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan really even say this halacha at all? Then Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that we always follow the stam mishnah. If you have a stam mishnah without an author, that is going to be the halacha that we follow that mishnah. Where do we see this? It's done. We have a mishnah that tells us the mishnayos and kelim, sandal shnuska achas ve'ozna v'sikna. But if you have a sandal, which one literally ear, again, each time we're going to mention ear now, it's going to mention a lot of times, we'll just translate it as the strap broke off and you fixed it. Tame midras. So it's going to be tame midras. We'll take out the parentheses. We'll not go with the parentheses right now. So that it's going to be tame midras. Now, normally, tumas midras is when you have, if a zav leans or sleeps or anything on any item, the Torah is mechadish that instead of becoming a rishon latuma, the zav himself is an avatuma. Zav, zav, anido, yoledes, all four of them, if they lie on any of these items, they step on any of these items, those items would remain an avatuma as opposed to anything else that a normal person who's an avatuma, a person who came in contact with a dead body, he's an avatuma. If he touches something, it always becomes a rishon latuma. It always goes down a level. So the Torah's mechadash for these things that become an avatuma. So now, if one of these straps broke off of this thing and you fixed it, the Gemara says that it's still going to be tame midras. Now, doesn't that apply my lav, loshna primis, losha chitzona? There's no difference whether it's the outer or inner strap, and therefore we have a stam mishnah, which is telling us we follow the rabbanan that a sandal, when the outer strap would fall out, is still considered a kli because it's still considered a halachic kli because it's still a shoe, because you could switch it to the other foot, and since you could switch to the other foot, halachically it's going to be viewed as a shoe, and therefore it's still going to be tamei midras and retain its ikr status of the avatuma status. Where says lo, primis daf, the mishnah is referring specifically to the inner strap which broke off. Therefore, the Mishnah is going to follow Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara asked on this, and says, "V'chitzona mai tar." You're going to assume that based on what you just said, that if the outer one of the outer strap had in fact broken off, then the sandal is going to now become tar. Ihachi, if that's the case, not going to be tar legamri, meaning it's still going to be maga midras. It's going to be rishon l'tumah, as we're going to see. The Gemara says, "Adetani." But if that's the case, the Mishnah told us in the hemshech of the seif of the Mishnah told us, "Nifsika shnia v'sikna." If the second strap had then broken off after the first one had been fixed, then, and you fixed it, tar mina midras, it's no longer going to be tar tuma midras, it's not going to be avatuma anymore, avatame maga midras, it's going to be as if it's touching a midras, and touching a midras is going to be a rishon lituma, right? Whenever you have an avatuma that touched a rishon, it's going to be a regular din of rishon lituma, so since here it once was an avatuma, it's going to be nidon like it's now touched the avatuma, and it's going to become a rishon lituma. So now, but the Gemara is asking, wait a second, why do you have to come up this far off case of where you have two straps that fall off in order to make the shoe not halachic shoe anymore and therefore not a kli. Why didn't bring the case niflag bedida? Tell the Mishnah differentiate with a case that's more closely related. The first case about only one strap falling off. Which case are we talking about? The Mishnah where we're talking about that it's going to remain as a studa of avatuma is only where the inner one broke off. However, if the outer one broke off, it's no longer a shoe halachically anymore, and therefore then in that situation it's going to be tahor. It's no longer going to be viewed as a halachic shoe. So then, if that followed Rabbi Yehuda, why did the Mishnah use this case of two of the straps falling off? It should have brought a case with only one strap falling off, because that would make more sense to keep it in line with the first part of the ratio, which was also discussing one strap falling off. So the more answers, the more says Amar Avilchak ben Yosef Tehei Mishnah Sina b'sandal sheyesh lo arba oznayim v'arba teristosim. That you have to assume that our Mishnah is referring to a case where the sandal has four straps and four strap holders. And therefore, Shalosh Berdei Rabbi Chunan. And in that situation, we're assuming that when we're talking about both of them, we're referring to both of them on the Chitonos. And in that case, if both of them on the Chitonos, then this would line up with Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the Chitonos broke off, then it would be used unusable. And if we're here, since we're assuming that there's four straps, you need both Chitonos to fall off, so the minimum that could happen is two. And therefore, the minimum shear that the Mishnah could have told us of the Chiddush, of it still remaining, of it's losing its status as the shoe, halachically, is if you have two straps falling off and not one, because in this case, again, there was four straps. So Gemara says, why are we doing this? Shalom lishbor d'var Rabbi Yochanan, because we want Rabbi Yochanan not to make sense and him to be so sir each other and have contradicting rulings. Therefore, we're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan can be explained with Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda as being the author of this Stam Mishnah. So the Gemara says, but really, is this what Rabbi Yochanan says? Ki yasar Ravin Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav Amar Rav. Instead of Ravin, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. The Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he said Ravin. Said that Rav Chanan said that then Rabbi Yochanan in Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha is not going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, like the Rabbanan who say that when you have the sandal, it's going to. It's still going to be viewed a kli because it can be switched from shoe to from your left shoe to the right shoe. So where it says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan really says this. Rabbi Yochanan, Libet Rabbi Yehuda, Shemun Rabbi Yehuda's really. But the way we just explained the whole thing is that we just explained that we do follow Rabbi Yochanan is following Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. So which is it? So where it says Amarayim of Libet Rabbi Yochanan. Now apparently there was two different Amarayim who argued on what Rabbi Yochanan really had said, and this is a very dochak answer. Gemara does not like this. Is Rashi and Ksubas has a very mysterious about Elu Elu Dibrei Lukim Chayim, and he says that usually if Beis Shammai says Tara and Beis Hillel says Tamei, because that's what they came to Libet Emes, that's what they held. Then we say Elu Elu Dibrei Kechayim. However, if you say something in the name of Amora and someone just got it wrong, then we don't say that that's Elu Elu Dibrei Chayim. That's very dochak, because here someone just got something pashut wrong. Fine, so that's a very dochak answer, but otherwise the Gemara was stuck saying that Rabbi Yochanan really it cannot be resolved, that two Amoraim disagreed of what he said. The Gemara is that Tana Hasan, we learn in the Mishnah on Kalim, that when it comes to any kli that a regular a homeowner is having, then the shear, in order to lose its status of tumah and not to be considered broken, is if you have a hole the size of a pattern garment. If you have that hole, then it would lose its status, because it's no longer a functional kli. And where it says by Chizkiah had a question though. Nikev kamot zayis ustamo. If he had a hole of a zayis and then you then filled it up. So in the situation over here, we're talking about a case. Then it had another hole of an olive size, and you sealed that one as well. Until you completed the size of a shear of a rimon of a pomegranate, what's going to be a lacha? Does it lose its tumah or not? Here we're discussing the case of that where the Gemara is talking about where the first tumah was still, you still had both holes, and then you repaired the first one. However, if you have tumah which only happened to the first hole and you completely fill it up, and then the second hole, there's no shayla. Everyone agree that's not going to add up to the rimon over here, since the both holes existed at once, and then you filled it up, and then this third hole was there for the other one, and then they filled it up, and then eventually got to pomegranate. The shayla is, do they keep adding to another, even though you had sealed them afterwards? And where it says, Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answered this question. He said, Rabbi Shanisa Lanu. He's Rabbi Yochanan talking to Chizkiah. He says, yeah, we taught us this halacha. You told us by sandal. Sandal Shanisa Achas Me'azna Vesikna. That if you have a sandal which one of the straps broke off and you fixed it, Tamei Midrash, it's going to be Tamei Midrash. Shanisa Kashniya Vesikna. And the second one came and you fixed it also, Tarim and Amidrash of Tamei Me'agam Midrash. No longer considered a halachic shoe, but it's going to be considered touching the shoe, so it's going to be a Rishon Latuma now. So he says, Varminan Ma'ishtar Rishon. What's the difference though? What's the difference when the first shoelace fell off and the second second one, at the end of the day, because the second one's still around, so therefore it's considered a usable shoe. However, but when the second shoe, when the second shoelace fell off, you fix the first. So what's the shayla? Why shouldn't it still be tame midrash? It still be avatuma? Shouldn't lose its full status as tame? So Gemara answers. Gemara said, Amar Slayalan, you explained us this kashi. You said panim chadashes balakan. Literally means a new face, meaning that over here that we don't consider the new shoelaces, we don't consider these new straps as part of the original sandal. Therefore, we're assuming that one of them breaks off, and then the other one breaks off. We're assuming that even though you fixed the first one, it's considered as it lost its status as a shoe, and therefore it's only going to be a rishon l'tuma, no longer an avatuma. So therefore, as well over here, hachanan panim chadashes balakan. In this case, of the utensil, since you had the kazayas, and it's going to be start the next kazayas. Next kazayas, we're assuming that the a new utensil never necessarily became tameh. So therefore, we are assuming that the tuma which came up from the original tuma as left, and therefore it's going to be a new one, and therefore it's not going to be tameh anymore. It's going to be tar. So the Gemara says, "Karlei leis dan bar inish." So then Chizkiyahu was so impressed with Rabbi Yochanan's way of explaining. He says, "Wow, this person is not a human. He's not a human being. Rather, Rashi says he's a malach. He's such a holy person. He's an angel." Ikud amrei kagon dein bar inish. No, some say that he said, "No, only this person is such a great person. Only Rabbi Yochanan." The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rava bar Zumni imishonah bin malachim." If the earlier generations, the chachamim of the earlier generations, they were angels, anu bnei anashim, then we're only like people. However, if they're only people, anu kachamorim, we're much like donkeys. We're donkeys, we're nothing. Not the famous two donkeys that we know about, el kishar chamorim, not like the holy chamorim. Holy donkeys. When Pinchas ben Yair, he came to an inn once, and the innkeeper wanted to give him barley, and it didn't take off chumas and maizos, and he wouldn't eat it. Only when he took off the chumas and maizos did Pinchas ben Yair's holy donkey eat from it. And also, the Gemara in Titus relates the donkey wouldn't be, if it was rented, it wouldn't come back to the owner unless the exact amount was done. And once happened, that someone left a pair of sandals on the donkey, and he wouldn't move until the sandals had been returned. So these are holy donkeys. So only them. We're like them. We're like the worst donkeys. So beautiful pshat. The name of the Chavos Das, he said that im rishonam benalachim. What is it? Im, that if. What do we mean? If are they or not? So he explained beautifully. He says no. Im is if you view it like that. If you view rishonam benalachim, if you see the earlier generations, the Chavitz Chaim and Rav Meisha and the Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the earlier generations of Chachamim, if you view them mamash like malachim, that they're angels, then maybe you're going to be a person. Then you're going to be a person. However, if you don't view those holy tzaddikim that we had in the previous generation as malachim, rather you view them as regular people, then we're mamash like animals. Look how lowly you are. You're not even deserving, you're like an animal. Okay, we'll pick up Emir Hashem with Vinod Sulayan tomorrow.